This episode of my podcast is sponsored by the birthplace of rock and roll. Yes, Sun Records has come out with a new book, and it is titled The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. It chronicles Elvis Presley's early days, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, B.B. King. It's just a great book. It chronicles nearly 70 years of rock and roll music. Sun Records has been there from the start. It chronicles the great night when the Million Dollar Quartet played. It chronicles all of Jerry Lee Lewis's sessions before he moved on. Elvis Presley's early days. The foreword is written by the late Jerry Lee Lewis. There are interviews with Jerry Lee up until his dying days. So this is just a great book to get, and I recommend you get it for $59.99. You could have over 220 pages of articles. You also have great photographs. It all around is a great book. And I'm a rock and roll nerd. You all know this. I've done episodes on Jerry Lee Lewis. I've talked about Elvis Presley. This book taught me things I didn't know. And it goes into the history that we didn't know about. All the singers that Sun Records had. Because, you know, the main four get the attention. But Sun Records had a great number of artists that were with them from their start that we didn't know about, that this book shines a light on. So again, I encourage you to get the Birthplace of Rock and Roll book for $59.99. If you would like more information, please visit sunrecords.com. They will answer all your questions. Again, I encourage you, if you want to learn more about rock and roll history, if you want a great book, if you want to see priceless photographs, if you want to hear what the late Jerry Lee Lewis said, again, this was the last book he ever was a part of, I encourage you to visit sunrecords.com and purchase The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. Again, sunrecords.com, Birthplace of Rock and Roll, and we thank them for being a sponsor. And now, let's get on to the episode. All right, this is the first time in this podcast's history that the New York Football Giants are in the playoffs. It's true. I know, let's pop the champagne bottles. We have a coach and a general manager we love. The Eagles are in the playoffs. The Cowboys are in the playoffs. Washington blew it, in my opinion. They should be here, but they blew it. But the draft expert is here. I had to do it. Coach Weber could not join us. He's baseball intramurals, so he's not here. But the draft expert is here, the fan favorite. So you guys will probably be more happy anyway. Coach, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Like we were saying before we started, they're in. I'm happy. Wasn't expecting to be here. I was happy Sunday when we almost won. I mean, onside kick away from winning.
Well, if you want to talk about that game, I'm gonna have to put Giant fans in their place on that game.
No, I know that I've been hearing it all week. So go ahead. My podcast
was well. Yeah, I'll give them credit. Their backups played harder. I mean, you expect that. Those guys are playing for their future. It's their one chance to shine. They did. I mean, I give them credit, but when you watch the game, I mean, Eagles obviously did not run their normal offense. Hurts didn't have any runs. He did quick passes, avoided contact whenever possible. So, I mean, you say, oh yeah, Eagles scored 22 points. How many times do you see Nick Sirianni kick 5 field goals? He had fourth down and less than 5 inside the territory. Normally, he goes for it if he has Jalen Hurts at full go with running the ball. So take a couple of those field goals, turn them into touchdowns, and next thing you know, it's a 30-something to whatever game, and it's a blowout. So the Eagles, their whole objective, just win the game, get out of there as healthy as possible. They did it.
Do you think the game would have been any different if Gardner Minshew started?
Gardner Minshew started that game, I think the Eagles would have scored more than 22 points.
That's what I think.
Because they wouldn't, Gardner Minshew is not a running threat. But I mean, you look at their passes, the Eagles passing game. I mean, he was getting rid of the ball. I actually, being the dork, I was watching the one film review of the game. And there were plays that if Jalen Hurts during a normal season, he holds onto the ball an extra fraction of a second. He had guys wide open for big gains, but he was just, nope, not taking a hit. I'm getting rid of this thing. I'll throw it short. So if Minshew was in, I think Eagles had a chance to maybe score more, but who knows? The way he played against the Saints, God, who knows?
Yeah, and I just, we gotta say one more thing about this game. The one thing that I thought would never happen happened on Sunday. Kenny Golladay scored a touchdown.
Oh, I know, you were all excited. Yeah, Kenny Golladay, yeah, that was just the no pressure situation. Kenny Golladay comes up big.
I just didn't think it was gonna happen. And then I saw Darius Slay tweet something about how James Bradbury, because the Giants put out a tweet, oh, yeah, we're releasing James Bradbury because of cap. And he just said, yeah, that was a really good decision, guys. And I was like, well, no one was going to bother you now. But now that you've triggered Giants fans, that I was just reading the comments. All of them were just Kenny Golladay touchdowns. Just that picture of Darius Slay's reaction to the touchdown. Because you could see, because I had to look at the facial reactions, the Giant bench was laughing. Brian Daboll even chuckled. And you have Darius Slay like, oh, this is not good. This is like, you saw yeah. James Bradbury like, oh, this isn't good. I swear, you can ask my roommates, I was laughing so hard. I was just laughing.
Yeah, so is Darius Slay better pick his game up too, because he hasn't played as well lately.
Yeah, he didn't really play well that game. I mean, he was letting, I don't know if he wasn't taking the receivers as seriously. I don't blame him. But he just, James Bradbury played well. He looked a little off his game on Sunday. I will say that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things that scare me. The Eagles, I don't know. I mean, Eagles were so hot to start the year, the middle of the year. Now they're in this lull. I mean, they basically had the number one seed clinched for weeks. They just had to get one win. And I think they lost their edge a little bit. So hopefully next week they get that edge back. But I have my concerns.
I will say this. The Dallas game to me was when I thought the Eagles were beatable just because they were turning the ball over so much. It wasn't Gardner Minshew turning the ball over. It was their running backs turning the ball over.
That's the thing. Like, they put 30-some points on the Cowboys. Won what by like six or something that game?
Six.
Minshew threw for like over 350. The Cowboys were something, they won by six. Eagles turned it over four times and still only lost by six.
Mm-hmm.
You cut that in half, which again, that's football. I mean, turnovers happen, but that was, you know, four turnovers against Dallas in Dallas and only win by six with Eagles backup quarterback. I actually felt good leaving that game. I was like, oh, wow. You know, clean up a couple of those things, and they're rolling.
And they still had a chance to win.
Yeah.
Like 20 seconds left, they were on the 20-yard line of Dallas. Yeah. They were one throw away from winning that game.
Yep.
So let's just get into the playoffs here. The whole picture. This is probably one of the weirdest playoff brackets there's been in years. No one thinks Tom Brady's going to go past the second round that I've spoken to and I've read. There's no Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Daniel Jones, whoever thought in a playoff bracket. And we both think he could beat Minnesota. We both think that. The 49ers came out of nowhere.
To me, this weekend, that's the big matchup game. I mean, nobody expected Seattle with Geno Smith, but they're going up and playing San Francisco and their best defense, so San Francisco moves on. I do think Tampa is an interesting game, but I think Dallas is going to win that. And then the Giants and the Vikings, I think they're the top two teams in the league in one score games.
Yeah. Giants are number two. Minnesota's number one.
Yeah. I think Minnesota, pretty much every one of their wins is a one score game.
Yeah. When they came back against Jeff Saturday's Colts, one score game. New York, yeah, I think that would make sense, actually.
I mean, and the Vikings, I mean, when the Eagles beat them, they shut out Jefferson. The Vikings lost. Recently, Jefferson gets shut out by, like, Green Bay. And I know the Vikings lost to Dallas. I'm not sure what Jefferson did that game.
He did nothing.
It seems like, as Justin Jefferson goes, the Vikings go. So if the Giants can limit Justin Jefferson, they got a chance.
The key in this game is Adoree Jackson. If Adoree Jackson is back, the Giants, I think, will win the game. Because then you have Adoree Jackson, Julian Love, what's that other kid's name? McKinney, Xavier McKinney. Yep. I mean, and their front four, in my opinion, is dominant.
Yeah, your front four, and I've been saying that with you for years on here with the draft. You've got to build through the lines. And you have a defensive line now with Ojulari, Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence, Williams. You have a defensive line that can get pressure. When you get pressure, your secondary looks better. And you know, you don't have to send blitzers every single time. So, and that's like the Eagles, people get all over Jonathan Gannon. And I think they get all over him because they get frustrated with the coverage, but they rarely blitz. And the Eagles had 70 sacks this year. So it's no coincidence that the Eagles defense ranks near the top because their defensive line is strong. And the Giants have that same blueprint.
I think they set the record. I saw on CBS that they set the record for the most sacks.
I think they set the all-time Eagles record. They might have fallen short of the all-time record this past week. I'm not sure, but they were close.
That A.J. Brown, I know, broke the franchise record for receiving yards. He did that on the first play of the game.
Yeah, and the Eagles defensive line, I think they had four players with 10 or more sacks. That's never happened before either.
No, their defensive line is scary. I want the Giants to play Philly. Well, no, what I really want is Seattle to pull off the miracle of all miracles.
So do
I. I go to Philly, and either we go to Tampa or Dallas, and then we have a better chance of moving on. But if the Giants even beat Minnesota, which I think they will, by 3 points, it'll be a 3-point game.
Oh, it's going to be close either way.
Yeah. But see, you think Dallas is going to move on. I think Dallas is done. I think Brady's going to move on and lose in the next round.
Brady, they're 8-9, so it's hard to say that good, but they're starting, that Mike Evans, Godwin, they're starting to get some of their receivers back and start. So, again, it's all going to come down to Dak Prescott again. Is he going to continue his interception streak? If he does, Dallas is out.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've been having this debate all week with people. I think Dak Prescott's overrated. Some people disagree with me and say Dak Prescott is underrated. Some people say he's perfectly rated. But I just don't see it. I think if he was picked in the second round or first round, he would get killed.
Yeah.
And he has all the weapons in the world and has done nothing. I don't see it. I need to get your thoughts. And
I definitely don't think he's underrated because Dak Prescott, he'll have his moments where he looks like a top 10 quarterback. Looks from, but he is prone to the boneheaded mistake. But he always makes either a fumble, a pick. He seems to do something that blows it. And until he can win in the playoffs, he has had weapons. He had CeeDee Lamb, Galloway. Now this year his weapons aren't as strong. He has CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton Schultz is a nice tight end. He has some good backs, but he doesn't have you look at the playoff teams, I think Eagles have better weapons than they do. I'll even say in Tampa Bay with Evans and Godwin and Fournette probably have better weapons. Minnesota, Jefferson and Cook and Hawkinson at tight end. San Francisco is scary as heck. Their weapons scare the heck out of me.
I think San Francisco is going all the way.
I actually do too. I know everybody says, Brock Purdy, seventh round pick, but they're not asking. His numbers are great, but they're not asking him to do too much. He's just getting the ball in the players' hands. Brandon Ayuk, McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and then their defense. He doesn't even have to put up all those points. Their defense is the best in the league.
You're 100% right, and that's why I was kind of happy the Giants didn't play all their starters, because I was thinking to myself, because you can think about it, especially if you're a Giant fan. Let's say the Giants continue to play well, and they're red hot right now, really. The record might not show it, but they're playing their best offensive football they've played in years, and defensive football, in my opinion. Do you really want to go to San Francisco in the second round or Philadelphia. Then. Like, if the Eagles lose, if the Eagles would have lost, San Francisco would have gotten the one seed,
mm-hmm.
and they have home field and a first-round bye. Like, as a Giants fan or anybody, any team rooting in the playoffs on the NFC side, do you really want to go to San Francisco right now?
No.
Like, the only reason I think the Eagles even have a chance if they when they get to the championship game is because they're at home. If this was on the road, I would say it's over.
Yeah, I would say it's over too. That is their only chance. And if the Eagles can get by their first week, you know, that gives Jalen Hurts another week to try to get back to 100%. You know, but, and then with San Francisco having to travel cross-country with a rookie quarterback, and maybe they can get him to make a mistake or two. I mean, that's the hope.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll make you do your bracket on the NFC side.
All right.
What's going on?
Okay, so NFC. Well, San Francisco is going to beat Seattle this week. Then I'm going against the grain here. I'm picking Minnesota in a close one over the Giants. Everybody's on the Giant bandwagon, and I'm going back and forth with this. And I think Minnesota's going to use that little motivation. They're going to be at home. It's the Giants' first trip to the playoffs. So all these guys, they have no playoff experience. The Vikings have been there. I think the Vikings are going to pull it out. And I think Dallas is going to beat Tampa Bay. So then we go to the divisional round, and you have San Francisco versus Dallas. That's San Francisco. San Francisco beats them. And then Philly plays
Minnesota.
No, hold on. I got that wrong. Philly will play Dallas.
How does Philly play? How does Philly play Dallas?
Will be the lowest, Dallas will be the five seed. They're the lowest seed.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
So Minnesota goes to San Francisco, and San Francisco beats them. Oh, boy. Then this is when – oh, God.
You should reverse your pick. You should pick the Giants. You would have such an easy road at that point for you.
No, there's no road easy right now with the Eagles. I think Dallas will come in. I think because Dallas beat Philly, the Philly fans will be in a frenzy.
They always are in a frenzy. They were in a frenzy.
Jalen Hurts is at least 90% where he can still threaten with the legs. I think Philly beats Dallas because it's in Philly. Then it's Philly, San Francisco. San Francisco comes in. Oh, boy. And again, it's up to health. I'm going to say San Francisco wins it in a slugfest. But it's all predicated on, one, is Jalen Hurts able to do what he's done all year health-wise, and Lane Johnson at right tackle. That was maybe even a bigger loss right now than Jalen Hurts.
I disagree with you on the Giants. I think they will win by 3 points, like I said. I just think Brian Daboll will figure it out. They'll go to Philly, and I think I've been saying this all week, and I've been getting laughed at and also getting yelled at by Eagles fans. The Giant-Eagle game will be close, and it'll be a one-score game going into the fourth quarter. A lot of Eagle fans up here think it's going to be a blowout.
No, I don't think – just because how the Eagles have played and some of the question marks, I know Eagles went into New York and steamrolled them, but sometimes that'll play against you later. And the Eagles, you know, they just beat the Giants with, you know, Giants back up, and Eagles didn't – really play their offense, run their offense. I think it will be tight again. The Lane Johnson thing, he has a torn abductor muscle, put off surgery. My feeling is he's going to come back, and within the first quarter, he's going to re-injure that thing, and he's done. He's going to try to game it. He's going to try to do it, and it's going to fail. And then that's going to affect that. That's going to hurt. But, I mean, other than that, the Eagles really are a relatively healthy team now. I mean, they're getting Gardner Johnson back. They're missing their slot corner, which hurts. Avante Maddox, he won't probably play next week. Lane Johnson, I would be shocked if he makes it through a game. And then Jalen Hurts. So we have three players right now up in the air.
The biggest question mark is Jalen Hurts. If he can't run, and I'm confident of this, the Giants or anybody or Minnesota will win. If Jalen Hurts cannot throw the ball, Darius Slay is taking a step back. I don't know if it's age is finally catching up to him. He's 33 years old. If he's playing through an injury that we don't know about. But you can just leave James Bradberry alone. And Darius Slay is, he's still good, but he's not what he was. That's what I'm trying to say.
Darius Slay was awesome the first half of the year. Second half, something's happened.
Yes.
But the Jalen Hurts, when he got hit in that Chicago game, I said right away, he's hurt. And he stayed in the game and threw the ball. And I'm like, we're going to get news that his shoulder's messed up. Now, I felt good that he didn't break a collarbone because he wouldn't have been able to play. But sure enough, it comes out, he has a grade one or grade two sprain, 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, that's not bad. And every week he's not practicing. I'm like, all right, they're hiding something. This is worse than I thought. Then he comes and plays against the Giants. I'm like, okay, good. He's back. Then watching him play, I'm like, nah, he's hurt. He's not doing it. Now he's not practicing again. Whether I don't know if right now they're just playing mind games so teams don't think he can run. I don't know. When does a coach come out and say, oh, yeah, he's really hurting bad. Luckily, we have a week off. They never say that. So it's I don't know if he's just saying that to try to trick people, but I don't feel good about it.
I think if Jalen Hurts is hurt, I think the Giants or Vikings should go into Philly and knock them off. I think Wink Martindale is one of the most underrated. And I thought this when he was with Baltimore. He is one of the most underrated defensive coordinators in the league. He's had to deal with so much crap this year because the Giants secondary was hurt up until they clinched against the Colts. I like Wink Martindale. I like Brian Daboll because it's not Kafka. Kafka's calling the plays, but it's Brian Daboll's system. If they can just not make the big mistake, which they haven't been doing, they didn't do it in the Washington game. They did it in the Vikings game, and that cost them the game. That turnover, that Bellinger turnover, cost them the game, if we're being honest. And then the Eagles, they didn't – I don't think they turned the ball over. They just had a third-string quarterback in Davis Webb. If they play disciplined, they can beat any – I think they can beat any team and keep a game close because they know how to win that close game too.
Well, that's Dable's former. Dable knows he does not have the firepower to go toe-to-toe with somebody. So he plays that possession game, you know, keep the game close, get it into the fourth quarter. And that's how they lived it. When they went off their, 6-1 start, it was close. Then the other team makes a mistake, turns it over him, and Giants capitalize. He knows it. And Giants, I said it before, Giants remind me of last year's Philly team.
I think that this Giants team is a little better. Not by much.
I mean, they have different, like, Eagles had an offensive line in place. You're starting to get it, but now you can kind of see what you need to move forward. You need some weapons. All right. Mm-hmm. So you get one good receiver that opens everything up. You just need now a couple pieces to go out and get it.
I agree with you, and it'll be fun to see if the Giants play the Eagles. I don't think we're going to win, but it'll be fun because if they do win, all of that anger I've had at Philly not winning, that would be one way to snap a losing streak in Philly.
Yeah, it would.
I don't know if I'd wear my Giants jersey in State College the following day. I don't know.
No, I'll put a hit out. I'll have somebody up there.
Well,
put a hit out on you.
We know that there. I know two people I'd have to look out for.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah,
they got some friends up there that they could go and get you.
That would not be good. All right, let's go to the AFC side. Yeah. I don't know. I think the Bills are going all the way to the Super Bowl. I do.
It wouldn't shock me. I know they're the everybody's favorite pick now because of what happened with DeMar Hamlin. And the good news that he's okay. And
yep,
Bills great. Now can use this as momentum to go forward. But that now decision for the championship game to be played at a neutral site. All right, let me see here. So this week you got Jacksonville and the Chargers.
I think that's the second best game on the schedule and could be the best.
I want to go with the Chargers. I think Jacksonville, that was their playoff game last week. It's going to be hard to ramp it back up. But the Chargers have some injuries. If they don't have Mike Williams playing at receiver, he's hurt. If Mike Williams can play, San Diego beats them. If not, I don't know then. But if San Diego's more healthy, San Diego wins.
Here's why I give it to the Chargers. And I'm just going to – not the Chargers. I mean the Jacksonville Jaguars. Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson has coached teams in the playoffs. He's won in the playoffs. I'll give him his credit, except the 1 year where they got eliminated in the first round. I'm giving this to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't trust their coach. I don't.
No, I don't. I'm not a big fan of the Chargers coach. I just think Jacksonville, it's hard. I know it's the playoffs, so you should get up, but last week was such a big emotional game for them. So I'm gonna go with the Chargers. And then, well, obviously, I'm going to go with the Bills over the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
That could be the biggest lopsided game of the playoffs.
If you picked the Dolphins, I was going to have to ask you why. I have not. I don't even see how the Dolphins scored 10 points.
No. And then I'm going to get the Bengals over the Ravens. The Ravens are a mess. Lamar Jackson's not practicing yet. You know, the Ravens could be playing.
He's holding out.
What's that?
You think he's holding out?
You know, he is up for a contract. I don't know. It's just not. I think the Ravens are cooked. So then after that, you'll have the Chiefs playing the Chargers. I think they'll be the Chargers. Chiefs win that.
Yep.
Then I'm going to go. Now, if the Cincinnati Bengals play the Bills, that'll be in. Well, that. I didn't hear the ruling. Like, I take it that'll be in Buffalo.
Who has the better record? I don't know.
Buffalo has the better winning percentage.
It has to go to Buffalo at that point because both teams didn't play the game, you know?
Yeah. So, because it's in Buffalo, I'll go with Buffalo. If it was at a neutral site, I'd go Cincinnati. I'm gonna stick with Buffalo because it's in Buffalo. Then you're going to have the rematch of Buffalo KC. Best game last year. That'll be at a neutral site in Atlanta. Allen, indoors. I was reading some on it today. His numbers indoors is like ridiculous. It's ridiculously good. So I'm going to say Buffalo beats Kansas City. It'll be a Buffalo San Francisco Super Bowl.
So we're in agreement then, Buffalo.
In the AFC, I was really like going to go for like, not a sleeper, but I was going to kind of say like the Bengals are kind of, I like Joe Burrow.
He reminds me of Brady.
He's like just like Joe Cool.
Yep. Right?
But the fact that he's going to have to go to Buffalo, I just think Buffalo, with what they've gone through, you know, going up there is going to be a tough, tough task. So I'll go with Buffalo Niners Super Bowl.
Tough pick yeah. to win that game. But I think I got to go with the Bills right now. That could change depending on how the Bills win these games.
Yeah, I hate, like, San Francisco's defense could give them fits. Do I trust a rookie seventh-round quarterback in that state? I mean, if Brock Purdy gets there, he hasn't lost a game this year, then. So, I mean, he's basically no longer a rookie at that point. He's already played playoff games. That means he went possibly to Philly and won on the road in the NFC Championship.
I don't think he's going to win that game in Philly. I think that defense is going to win that game.
Yeah. And the defense could do the same against Buffalo. I'm going to pick a San Francisco Super Bowl.
I could see that. So I'm not even really going to argue it. Just right now, it just feels like Buffalo is going to win it. It feels that way. It could change. Like, in a dream scenario, I would love to see the Giants play the Buffalo Bills. And at that point, I'm going to pick the Giants just because
that's a story.
That's not going to happen. I said dream scenario. That's not going to happen, even though it would be a Super Bowl rematch.
You weren't even alive then.
I know, but I know my history.
The kick is still wide right. You know that.
I'm just, listen, I've been waiting so long to talk competitive Giants football with people. I'm just happy to be here. That Giant arrogance hasn't come back into my system yet, like it was when I was younger.
Well, look, I mean, look on the positive. I mean, you could go to Minnesota and win. You could go to Philly with Jalen Hurts not 100%, with the right tackle out. Yeah.
Don't get me excited, because I remember the 07 run, but I really remember the 2011 run. And I remember not being favored in any of the games. At least in 07, we were favored against the Tampa Bay Bucks. We were favored a couple times. We're not going to be favored at all after Minnesota.
No, you're not.
Which is fine. Like, the dream scenario is just if we beat the Philadelphia Eagles, if we get that far, it'll be fun.
Yeah, well, if you do, then I'm going to start my draft process.
Yeah, I thought you already started your project. You haven't started yet?
Oh, yeah. I started making up my list of eligible players. I haven't really ranked them yet because they haven't had, like, the Hula Bowls this weekend. That's one where some of the players, and then the Senior Bowl will come, then the Combine. I'll start looking at that, but I'm going through, like, my original board. Actually, I just did it the other night. Some players that I thought were going to declare opted to go back. So my board is shrinking.
There are six good quarterbacks, everybody tells me, in this draft.
Oh, man, they all have – like, it's early. You know, Bryce Young scares me because he's so small. Stroud, I mean, has all the physical tools. But, Will Levis, how can he – I mean, he couldn't even play at Penn State.
Yes, that is true.
You know, he's one. Then you got Richardson from Florida.
I heard he's not very good, Richardson.
What's that?
I heard from people he's not very good, Richardson.
I don't think there's any, like, as of right now, sure thing where I look, like, probably if I look at all the quarterbacks right now and look at arm strength, size, athletic ability.
It's Purdy.
Stroud might be the biggest upside, but I don't know. Like, some of the players I had Eagles thinking they might take a run at, like, edge rushers. Two of them are going back to school now.
Is it? Oh, yeah. I know the one's going back to school. I didn't know another one's going back.
Jared Verse from Florida State is going back, which he was probably a borderline first-round, definite second-round pick. Next year, he'll be one of the top ones. And a guy from Washington, I think it's Joe Tryon. I want to say that was his name. He was a potential second, third round pick. He decided to go back. So those are two guys off the board.
So what does an Eagles fan do when they're – I'm reading my questions now that the fans sent in. What does an Eagles fan do when the Eagles don't play? Are you going to be scouting teams this weekend?
You read about every day about Eagles news, and you read about their practices, and you hear all the different rumors flying around. You know, like today, Jalen Hurts was at practice, but he didn't throw a football one time. He went through the offense, but didn't throw any.
How do you know if the shoulder's getting better?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You have a bye week for a reason. Rest his shoulder. Give his shoulder another week and a half before he starts throwing it again and see if he's a little bit better. I wish I knew what exactly was wrong with his shoulder. You know, it's not a rotator cuff. It didn't sound like a labrum. It sounded more like the front of his shoulder. They said like an AC joint sprain. So I don't know.
I don't know either. I just, he doesn't look right to me.
And if it was a rotator cuff, the guy's not picking up a football and throwing it.
It's over at that point. If he's out for the game.
So, who knows?
I don't think Gardner Minshew, if Jalen Hurts gets hurt, is going to be a Nick Foles and lead you guys to it.
No.
That's the problem. I mean, I'm just going to say it now.
No. And because of Thibodeau, maybe we could have re-signed. Maybe we could have brought Foles in here to save the day. But, you know, Thibodeau put an end to that.
Okay. We do. That's actually my next thing.
Thibodeau with it doing his snow angel or whatever he was doing right next to a guy writhing in pain. What the heck?
It's bad. It was bad, but at the time, I'm not going to lie, I was so amped up, I didn't realize Nick Foles was hurt. Usually I know when someone's like hurt right away and I'm like, oh, that's bad. I was just so amped up that the Giants dominated that game. They did.
Oh, the Colts they might be the worst team in football. They are so bad. Their GM, their owner, fires a coach, Frank Wright, and brings in Jeff Saturday, who's never coached, a TV analyst, to go run the team. Boy, I wonder what was going to happen to that.
They had a good first 2 weeks. They won their first game, and they almost beat the Eagles. Then their mascot did that celebration when the Eagles guy was scoring the touchdown, and it's all been downhill from there.
Yeah, well, that first, the first week or two, the players are like, Jeff Saturday comes in, he can be all amped up. They can ride the emotion here, try to win for this, prove people wrong. Then that goes away pretty fast.
So how confident are you going in? This is another fan question. How confident are you going into next week's game, no matter who you play?
All right, pre-Hurts injury, I was starting to drink the Kool-Aid, like, all right, Philly is the best team in the maybe NFL, definitely NFC. There's nobody in NFC that can, with how they were running their offense, on any given play, there were so many options, you couldn't stop it. Unless the Eagles did something like self-destruct, you couldn't stop it. I was dead set. I'm saying there's no doubt. Eagles are at least in the NFC championship game. And once Garoppolo went down, I'm like, that's it. Eagles have a free run to the Super Bowl. I'm not that certain anymore. I'm not that confident just because of the Jalen Hurts factor and the Lane Johnson factor. Those two things had me concerned. I'm 50-50 right now.
You're 50-50?
Maybe edging, maybe the first round, maybe edging a little bit more than 50-50 because it's in Philly, because the Philly fans are going to be going bonkers. That might be enough to carry them that first week, especially if they have to play a team like the Giants or the Cowboys. Not because I don't think those teams can't beat Philly, but that's going to be a second road game in a row. And technically, if it's the Giants or the Cowboys, it's three straight weeks on the road because Dallas had to go to Washington. You had to go to Philly. Now you're traveling. Dallas is traveling. So that's three straight weeks on the road. That's tough to do.
Do you think that the Giants have an upper hand because the Philly fans were amped up? Like, winning, they were amped up on Sunday. I don't want to hear what most Eagle fans were saying to me on Monday. The crowd looked like it was pretty amped up.
I was supposed to go to the game and then didn't.
Where did you go?
I didn't feel like we could have had tickets. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to waste my whole Sunday and waste my day to go see a Giant backup team and potentially Gardner Minshew play. I'm not going to waste my time. So I was also thinking, I know it was a big game for Philly, but I didn't get the sense that it was going to be a real amped up kind of game because when you don't have Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones, I'm like, it might be a little subdued. But the playoffs, it is going to be amped up.
I'm kind of thinking there are a lot of Steeler fans up here. When the Phillies made it to the World Series, this place was going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to Medler. They were going nuts. I would go downtown. they would go nuts. If the Eagles go on a run, I don't know how crazy this town will get.
Well, my son was at Penn State when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and he said they were storming the streets there. It was that crazy. I think the State College Police were out. It was getting that nuts.
Kind of like when Penn State won their first game of the season and the police had to – who was that against?
Purdue. Yeah, that was a big win. Yeah, they beat Purdue. Yeah.
That city went crazy. You think they went crazy for the World Series? Oh, no. Like, they went crazy. Or when the Phillies won the pennant? No.
At the same time, with State College, I mean, I know you guys were back. They were back last year, but this is the first full year since the pandemic where it felt like everything was back to normal on campuses and stuff. So they're looking for any reason to get out and celebrate. Yeah, so.
Went over Purdue.
Yep, the big Boilermakers.
That's what got us amped up. A win where we almost lost. Mm-hmm. I'll be the first one to say it. I think in the room they'll be the first ones to say it. But, all right, a couple more questions here. What's your playoff routine? Do you have a special routine that you do during the playoffs? Because everyone knows mine.
Yeah, I know. I don't have any eating superstitions anymore. But I'm one for an Eagles game. I pretty much everybody should just stay away from me. Yeah, I'm gonna go down in my basement. I'm gonna close the door. The rest of my family that's home will watch it upstairs. They won't even come near me. Because if things are going bad, I can't be around them. I can't. So I will lock myself in the basement and watch the game. And if something bad happens, they know it because they hear me hitting stuff. And yeah, it can be an ugly scene.
Now, I didn't believe that it was that bad. I'll tell a story for the audience. Because some of the audience doesn't believe it either. I went to the tailgate night. Your wife, one of the first things she said was, I know you might not think that he gets that crazy during the Eagles games, but I don't watch the game sometime because I just know by his reaction how things are going. And I said, okay, well, like the Super Bowl, I said, he probably came up for that. He's like, nope, we were all upstairs and we were just relaxing. I think one of your daughters told me that. Yes, they did.
Yep.
No, he had to be by himself, and, we knew when it got a little dicey, we heard, something fall on the ground. We knew that he was getting nervous, and I said, okay.
No, they're not lying. I stay downstairs. It prevents any kind of arguments or yelling or anything. Usually, right at halftime, I'll go upstairs and get something to eat and a drink, and they can tell by how I come up the stairs and walk through the kitchen. What they don't have to watch the game. They know what's going on. If I don't say a word and just get myself a go, they know it's not good. If I come up and I'm like, talkative, they know Eagles are playing well. Yeah, they're not lying.
That's why Coach Weber and I text you when we play the Eagles. We have to just get your reactions.
Oh yeah, it's
sometimes we initiate it. We both initiate it. When things are going bad for our teams, you'll initiate it. And when the Giants started to score touchdowns, I had to say that. I had to say something. I was debating whether or not, because I was like, well, for some reason, State College up here, it's like 10 seconds delayed. I'm two plays behind everybody else. And I figured that out when I was home and watching the Giant games. So I don't want to text because I'm like, oh, no. What if something happened but the next play where it's like I'm two plays behind?
Well, I'm superstitious. So if things are going good for the Eagles – I don't want to say anything because I'm afraid I'm going to jinx it. I'm more likely to say something when things are going bad to try to turn the tide. When the Eagles were playing the Giants and it was 22-9, and because Eagles just went on that long, just ran the ball nine straight, took off like 7 minutes. I'm like, okay, there's hardly enough time left. And I literally was sitting there saying, just don't get beat deep on a pass. Make them take some time off the clock. This game is over. No sooner do I think that Galladay makes his one catch of the year. I'm like, oh, see, I shouldn't even have thought that. It's like when Eagles had third and 30 against the Cowboys, and they completed it, yeah, the upstairs family knew something bad happened. Like, how can you give up? I was going to text in and I didn't. I'm like, I was going to text game over. You don't give up a third and 30.
I think you might have texted me that. Texted in the group chat, actually. It's over.
I probably said the game's over. Because
and I said, don't worry. The Eagles – and you told me to shut up. And I was like, okay. He's upset. And then Coach Weber –
well, that's right. No, because right before that play, because the Eagles had went down and scored. I think the Eagles went up 10.
It was a 10-point game with 6 minutes left.
It was like – it was still like third – that was another thing. It was like the third and 30 happened a little earlier. And Eagles were up 10, had all the momentum, had Dallas backed up 30-30. If Eagles stop them, they get the ball back, and maybe they can go down and score, make it a three-score game, then the game's over. I'm like, all right. And you texted, so I'm like, oh, looks like the Eagles are going to win, and freaking 3rd and 30, they complete it. And I'm like, that's it, shut up.
Well, Coach Weber DVR'd that game, so I was waiting to hear what Coach Weber had to say. He was silent, and I was like, it's not like him to be this silent. And then he said, yeah,
he DVR'd it. Then he didn't have to – he had no pressure watching it because he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Reading our text.
He ruined
it. Oh, 3rd and 30. Yeah, they'll complete this and get a first down. What are the chances of that? 3rd and 30.
And you I knew at that point they were going
to
lose.
They hadn't played all year, no less. T.Y. Hilton. I don't know if he had a catch since then.
Don't think he did, actually, to be honest with you.
Yeah, probably not.
But I just remembered when they converted that, I was like, really? Like, they're going to actually go down and score?
Well, if you remember the first half, too, Eagles had momentum. And have a corner blitz. Avonte Maddox is a free shot at him. To Dak Prescott's credit, somehow, he got out of that. That would have been 4th and long. They had a punt. He gets out of it and completes a pass for like 20, 30 yards. It's like, oh, my God. So that's what I mean. That Dallas game, although Dallas won, every oddity that possibly could happen in a game happened. Miles Sanders, the announcers were like, oh, what's his face? You know, he forced a fumble. No, he didn't. Sanders just dropped the ball. He didn't even get touched. You know, and then Quez Watkins – basically makes a catch and gives it up to the DB, 3rd and 30. Prescott somehow gets out of a sack. Everything that never happens happened all in one game. So I actually felt good.
I'm just happy there was no game on New Year's Eve.
So if that happens in the playoffs, Eagles lose like that, somebody just call 911 and send it to my address I'm going to be laid out on my basement floor with a heart attack. I'm just telling you. I can almost accept a loss when they play good and they get beat. But when stupid stuff like that happens, I'm done. I'm cooked.
If the Giants or Cowboys beat the Eagles, which I don't think is going to happen, don't worry. We'll check on you.
Well, listen, if it's the Giants or the Cowboys and they come into Philly – and Eagles run their normal offense all year, and they look pretty good. They don't turn to stupid turnovers or anything like that. If Eagles play at DC and the other team comes in and just, like, plays better, I can live with them. Like, all right, you know, nothing strange, no what-ifs with this game. I'm okay. But, I mean, the Eagles – Jalen Hurts, I think, what, is he 17-1 in his last 18 games? The one loss he had was to the Redskins on fluke stuff. The ball goes through A.J. Brown's hands into the DB. Dallas Goedert gets face masked. Powell drives into the turf, fumbles, and they pick it up. Then they pick it up and score. I mean, like, oddities like that drive me nuts. It took all that for them to lose.
Even the play, they should have gotten the ball back in the fourth quarter, and they called up.
Brandon Graham with the two-hand touch on the quarterback.
Like, the quarterback wasn't giving himself up till he had his hands wrapped around him.
Hassan Reddick was the one closest to him. He gave himself up, but Brandon Graham was coming in, and you can see he was kind of – because the quarterback went down but wasn't touched yet. So Graham's going in to touch him down, and Graham actually slid on his knees and hit him. Now, it looked, I mean, it was a tap. And Heinicke flops, and, you know, this doesn't mean the Eagles still would have won that game, but.
It would have had a chance.
Yeah, it would have had a chance, but. Hey. Eagles played sloppy that game anyway. So, fluke things, but they played like crap that game. That was their clunker.
You should be happy that they lost three games because the Giants do well against teams in the playoffs with 0-1 losses.
Yeah, I know. You should be
ecstatic.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't ecstatic after they lost to the Saints. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, God, another week where they don't have it clinched yet. Yeah, I wasn't ecstatic then.
Oh, wait. I don't have to go to class on Monday, so if the Giants win, I don't have to worry about getting up at 8 in the morning. I just realized that. Not going to do anything stupid, but just popped in my brain.
Oh, yeah, you will. If the Giants win, you'll do something stupid. Yeah, you will.
I've been keeping to my routine. I don't go out on Sundays. I'll just watch the game. I'll eat my food. I'll text you, and then I'll watch something on HBO Max. That's what I've been doing all year. And as boring as it is, I'll probably do it again if they win.
Well, I have had, like, I don't have much, like, I do have a Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl championship shirt that I've been wearing all year. But after they lost back-to-back games, I switched it up, and they beat the Giants. So I might have switched that up. So that's my only real superstition now. Maybe I should try something. I don't know.
I was going to stop texting you if they would have lost to Washington. I would have done it. But then they won, and I was like, at this point, that's a sign to keep going. I was just debating. I'm like, well, it's not working anymore. And then they won, and I was like, well, now it's like we're going to the playoffs, and I have to finish.
Oh, yeah, you can't quit now. You have to suck it up, and you have to do it for the betterment of the team.
I mean, if they would have started, like, 2-2, I would have stopped. But they just kept winning, and I just – then they beat Green Bay, and I was like, it's working. This is somehow – my shock of texting people when they win is working for some reason.
Oh, yeah. You got to keep – superstitions are real. You got to keep doing it.
I really just want the Giants to play the Eagles. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, it's looking like there's a high probability Eagles are going to play an NFC East team. Giants or Cowboys?
I just want to see how Coach Weber and you would act during a playoff game, too. Either way, I win. I know Coach Weber will text in that chat. There's no way he's silent that whole game in the chat.
No.
You guys weren't silent during a Sunday night game. So I don't see how you guys are silent during a playoff game.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm going to be such a mess.
That's why I have to do it. That's why we're here.
Maybe I just hope Seattle wins so I don't feel as much stress playing the Giants or the Cowboys.
Oh, please, Seattle, please win. And then if we're playing Brady, that's when I'll get confident. Like, oh, I'll see you in the championship game.
Well, if Seattle wins and you win, you have to go to San Francisco.
Well, I thought we had to go play Brady. Oh, we do have to go to San Francisco.
Do not want Seattle to win.
Wait.
Hey, because Seattle's the lowest seed. They go to the one.
Seattle's playing San Francisco, though, this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I'm rooting for Seattle to win.
Oh, yeah, you are, because then you either go to Dallas or Tampa Bay. And you
please. Win. I'll end the podcast like this. I'll say, just take me to Tampa, please. Tom Brady.
How funny would that be? If somehow Seattle wins, then they got to travel cross-country to Philly, assuming Philly beats them, and you travel to Tampa and win. It'll be Giants-Eagles NFC Championship game. Oh, my God.
You think if Coach Weber got annoyed with the chat last weekend when the Giants and Eagles were playing each other, when we weren't even texting that much, in a championship game, we would both be nervous at that point. I'd be done. I'd be too nervous.
Yeah, but you have nothing to lose. You're the sixth seed, not supposed to be there. Here I am as the one seed, everything to lose. And it's in Philly. There might be riots in Philly if Philly doesn't win that one.
there might be riots up here.
Yeah.
You will not see me. I will just go to class. I will go to baseball. I'll go to the football facilities if I'm needed. And I'll go to class, and that's it for that whole week. I won't even celebrate. I'll do my talk shows that I'm assigned to do, and then I will just – nope.
Well, I'm if by some miracle the Eagles win the Super Bowl. See, when the Eagles won in 2017, my son had a Carson Wentz jersey. I wore that, I think, for a month straight.
Oh, no.
So I can't use Carson Wentz, but he just got an A.J. Brown jersey. I think I'll have to steal that from him, and I'll just wear the A.J. Brown jersey for a month.
Well, you're going to have to add your banner. Do you still have that newspaper up there? For the people that don't know, Coach in his – and when I was in his – I wasn't there. In his class. When my Spanish class was in his room, he had a banner of the Super Bowl.
Nick Foles. Yeah, it's still there. It's hey, I had to wait my whole life for that, so that's going to stay up until I retire. And it's just I'm leaving. I have to leave room for another space. Just by some miracle, we get another one, then I'll have Jalen Hurts next up.
And then Carson Wentz really becomes a distant memory.
Yeah, well, that's why he isn't, because it's a Nick Foles picture. Maybe what I should do, I know, maybe what I should do, one of the Eagles talk show hosts on WIP before the Super Bowl run in 2017 when Foles took over made a bet that if Nick Foles wins them the Super Bowl, he's going to get a picture of Nick Foles tattooed on his back.
Do you have any tattoos?
No.
I was about to say.
No, I don't have any. But maybe I can think of – maybe I don't want a Jalen Hurts face on my back. That would be pretty bad.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
Man, I don't want Nick Sirianni on my back either. But, you know, maybe I can get, like, an Eagles emblem with, like, the Lombardi trophy and have that put on.
Maybe your whole family can get it.
You know what? Maybe.
You're going to text them. Oh, I was on Benny's show today, and he came up with an idea, and then I'm going to see them one day, and they're going to say, so you're going to make us get tattoos if the Eagles win.
Yeah, I do. Since my daughter is a pretty good artist, I'll have her make a design for me.
She did design that T-shirt that never came because I never had my senior year.
Yeah, I could have her design with the Lombardi trophy, with like the maybe have like the Lombardi trophy, and in the football have like the Eagles head on the football, and engrave 2017, 2023, or 22 on it. Yeah, and I'll just leave room for other years, just in case it happens.
I think you just came up with an idea that you want.
And I'll have to run it by the family, see if that's maybe I'll, you know what? Maybe I'll take donations to pay for it.
Donations?
I'll put it up in my room. You know.
I will gladly donate.
People to put money in the Eagles Super Bowl run. I'll have a bin up there for donations.
I'm not – for my audience members, because they're going to tweet me now and Instagram me, I'm not making a GoFundMe for it. I'm not doing it. I'm not open – I know I will donate. I'm pretty sure Coach Weber would donate too just to I don't know about the rest of the coaching staff. But you have my donation. I'm only for you though. Nope, no one else.
And maybe I can even go further. No, I'm not going to do this. So I can get the Dallas Cowboys star on my one butt cheek and get the Giants on the other one. That's what I can do.
I'm not paying for that. I'll pay for the Dallas. Well, Coach Weber pulled that prank on you. He texted me. Oh, this is a bobble in the show. They'll love this story. So Coach Weber texted me. He's like, so my daughter's in Galusi's class. I said, okay. I literally just texted back. Oh, okay. He says, I have an idea. And I said, okay. He said, I'm going in there to tour the facility and Galusi won't be there. And I was like, all right. He said, I'm going to get the whole room filled with Dallas Cowboy stickers. And I said, do you have any Giants stickers? And he's like, that's a good idea. And he went to, I don't know if he went to the store and actually did it, but
he did it.
He did it?
Because I went in my room because I had to go in over the summer for some things. And I had to make a phone call. And I picked up the phone and there was a Dallas Cowboys sticker on the dial. I'm like, okay. And then there was a Giants sticker on something. I forget how many I found. I found a couple, but I was told that there's quite a few. So I don't even know if I found them all yet. He might have put some in some real inconspicuous spots.
Knowing Coach Weber, he did. He once asked me if I could find a way to get the room unlocked one night during workouts and we could sneak. And I'm like, I can't do that, but you could ask Mr. Meehan to do it. And I think he would be down to do it. I said, I can't do that. But he told me not to tell you. He just said, don't tell him. You talk to him more than I do. Do not tell him. And I said, yeah, I'm not going to tell him. Then he'd probably go to the school every day.
No. Yeah, it makes me nervous now because he's there in your murals now at night, but I keep the door locked now, so.
Hey, he's there every night. I didn't realize, I guess intramurals do start now. They used to start a little later.
Yeah, they're starting up, so yeah, I don't trust them here.
Hey, you haven't felt, his daughter doesn't have a C yet, so he's.
Her grade depends on these playoffs. It's kind of ironic that the marking period is ending now as the playoffs are coming around. So her grade could go up or down depending on some scenarios.
Hey, C's get degrees. That was always my motto in high school.
Yep.
When I got to college.
Yep. What do you call a doctor that finished last in his class?
The highest paid?
Doctor. He's a doctor.
I got into Penn State and my GPA, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't the best. Like, I didn't have the best GPA to get into Penn State, and here I am.
Yeah, that's an academic show, but give this speech. Everybody's so worried about their GPA. Once you get in, your GPA doesn't matter anymore. Because I'm pretty sure you don't walk into Dunkin' Donuts and announce what your GPA is because nobody cares.
No, no one cares. And the best thing about college is I'm in these classes now, and my GPA is actually a lot better than it was in high school. Like, I was average in high school, now I'm doing better, or I'm a little bit above. And my professor just looks at us and says, nobody cares what you get in this class. They just want to see that you passed it and you have the tools to help them in an internship or a job. And I was like, if we had that same mindset in high school, I feel like more students would want to go to college.
Do you want to come talk to my kids? Because I talked to them about it. I don't want to tell them grades aren't important. They are. The grade is not what's important. It's the fact, the work you put in. It's better to take a class, work hard, and get a hard-earned B or C than sit there and beg and plead for extra credit so you can get an A so it looks like you got an A. Doesn't matter. Right. My daughter's going to be either a physician's assistant, do something in the medical field. She's taking classes, I don't know, that one I could never pass in my life. But like organic chemistry and stuff, she and calculus too. She's never, ever, ever going to use that when she's checking somebody to see if they have an ear infection. But getting the class, proving that you can work and pass the class, that's what's important. It's ridiculous.
I just don't see it. I feel like I would say this to anybody, and I say it all the time. I feel like high school, where they put too much pressure. I didn't take the pressure seriously, frankly, because I knew my brother got into Penn State and we had the same amount of grades. My brother did great when he got here, but he was average in high school, maybe a little bit above. So to me, it was like, I just want to just get in. I don't really care how I get in. Like, I don't care if I'm the highest in my class. Like, everyone, I used to have friends, and I still do, that in high school they wanted to be the highest in their class. Like, that was the argument, what class, whatever. I said, I just want to get – I'm in Penn State. I'm happy.
Yeah. My son, I have to go and talk to the middle school parents about classes, and they all want to talk about how they want to get their kid to take Calc 2 and 3 in high school. I'm like, why? Yeah. My son went to Penn State, got a degree in engineering. His highest math course at Parkland was college prep pre-calculus. Two of his best friends that went to Penn State engineering, I had them in class, good kids, smart, but they were so worried about their GPA and getting ahead, they finished at Parkland with like Calc 1 and Calc 2, both of them couldn't finish engineering at Penn State. So what good did that do? So they wanted to get ahead. They didn't get ahead. You know, they didn't learn the stuff because all they cared about was, oh, I got to get an A. I got to take all these upper level classes. No, you take the classes, you learn the stuff at a pace you can learn it, you're better off. I had to freaking take 4 years of calculus in Calc 4, and I've only ever taught like Alg 1, Alg 2, and geometry. So I did well in Calc in college, but even if I didn't, it doesn't affect anything.
I would say this to anybody, and I have, because they would send me when I was at Penn State Berks to go talk to kids sometimes. I said, listen, I'm at where I want to be, and I could go, like, I wanted to be on the just get involved in something. That's what I always tell kids that ask me for advice. One of the reasons I got in was because they said, we see you're so dedicated with baseball, and we see that you're dedicated there, and you also kept a good enough GPA where we could see you can juggle multiple things, so we know you can be successful here. That's what that's really what my admissions officer told me when I got in.
A funny story with this, I think it was Harvard or Princeton, one of them comes in and they interview potential the students. And this recruiter said, we are so sick of kids coming in and telling them how they're in the honor society, how they're in the English honor society, how they're on the math honor society, their GPA is 4.0. Like they said, every single person that applies has the same stuff. They love the kid that comes in and say, yeah, I have to work a part-time job at a restaurant, you know, to help save some money. I have to, you know, volunteer for like the Miracle League to help out. They love that. That makes you different. Everybody, you know, can say they're in the honor society when you're applying to Harvard. What separates is the other stuff. You know, it's like being a coach. When you're coaching a game, you know, sometimes like a regular season game, like you win, but you play like garbage. You leave there feeling like, whatever. Just during a regular season, I'd rather play a good team, good competition, go to like North Penn, maybe not win, but you played a good, solid game. You get more out of that than going to play some garbage team winning 15-0 and you did nothing right. Same with academics.
I know, but it's just like a society thing nowadays.
Your show is like broadening its horizons now. We're talking about academics on your show.
That's why the audience loves you the most. I've had celebrities on, well, I guess, in their fields. I've had coaches on, and they just – because we just have a conversation. It can go anywhere after we're done with our main topics. That's what they like.
Speaking of, have you started thinking about – you know, we did talk at the tailgate about a future job here for me so I can retire.
I told – well, I don't want to go on air with it, but I do have that Penn State baseball thing possibly in the works. If I can get that job, I told you, you can join my staff.
I want to be a pod guy. I want to be since I can't go on ESPN now and be a draft analyst, it's a little late for that. I don't think my credentials are going to get me on there, but, you know, let's start off here. We can do some stuff.
You could just, I feel like your son or one of your daughters is good at talking. Like, I don't know them that well. I don't know your son at all. I don't know your daughters that well either. But I feel like one of them has to be good at talking.
Now, my son is very quiet. He doesn't say much. My one daughter, Madison, she will be silent for like 2 days and then go on a stretch for like an hour where she won't stop talking. Mackenzie's the one that'll talk. I have one. But
you can get her to start a podcast with you.
Yeah, but it won't be like a – like she likes sports, but I can't see going on with her doing a sports podcast.
You're always welcome on this show. You know that. You're always welcomed.
Can I make like a little career out of it though so I can retire early? Because the lottery's not working out for me right now. I'm trying.
If you're serious about this, I do know some people at John Boy Media that like to do a crossover episode with you on it.
What are the topics?
It would be football. Have you ever listened to the show Talking Giants? That's the big
thing. What do you think?
Well, it's
Talking Giants.
Well, they also
what is
have
wrong with that?
They also have another show called Talking Football and Talking Analytics. My friend Justin.
Yeah, sort of like the guy you send me. What's the giant guy that has his thing after the game? Mike or whatever?
Oh, that's the bad dog. He's just someone that I want. He's funny. I don't really take him. I agree with him on some points, but I think he's hilarious on other points. I will say that.
I like his, bro. I like his.
If you're willing, we could do a live stream of a game. I'm open to it.
But listen, do you have a parental guide rating on this thing?
I do not.
Because then you might want to look into that if we're doing an Eagles game live. Because there might be some things said that the audience should be above 18.
I can rent the camera from Penn State next year if you want to go viral. This is an idea if you want to go viral. Coach Weber also agrees that this would make you go viral too. He's big on social media, on Twitter. Coach Weber is, believe it or not. We'll get you a camera. I'll set up the tripod. I know how to work the camera now. I'll leave. I'll stay upstairs, and you could have the whole spotlight to yourself. And then I'll edit it down into like a 20-minute video.
If the Manning brothers can go on ESPN and do a thing, I can go on and do a thing.
You could do it. I told you. I think that I gave you this idea. Remember a few years ago, you didn't even want to come on my show. I had to like drag you to do it. I knew you'd be popular.
That's the missed thing. Like, it seems like when I coached, I hated talking to the newspapers. I hated if I had to go for it. I hated it because I hated any attention. I was very, very uncomfortable doing that. I despised it. Like, if we want to, I think going to like to the state championship game, getting calls every day, like to go to Keith Groller's show or whatever. And I'm like, no, because I honestly had nothing to do.
I always said this. I knew you were going to, the morning call guy, I think I said this story. I might have said it off air. The bald guy that got fired, I don't know his name. He came up to me one day and he's like, we were at a restaurant. I think it might have been Red Robin. And I'm with Gabe and Trent, one of my buddies from home. And he's just like, so I have to ask you a question because he covered me during the Legion run. He said, so how did you get Coach Galusi to talk? And I said, what do you mean? They're like, you know, you have Coach Weber on and these guys and they talk and they give insight. And they're like, I've been trying to get that for like almost 10 years and I couldn't get nearly as much out of him as you got in 5 minutes.
Nope. I know he was a good guy. He was one of my favorite ones. I know it sounds bad, but I know with baseball, like if Gabe Moser goes out and when we beat that Nicorac that one time, you know, first round drafting, you know, Moser throws a gem, you score a couple runs. And I'm getting interviewed. I'm like, I had nothing to do with this. Gabe just threw like a two-hitter. I didn't teach him how to throw a baseball. You know, our guys put up a couple runs against the guys to be a first-round draft. I hated it.
I am the same way with the media. When I had to talk when I was at Berks or when I did the Legion run, I just didn't really have anything to say. And yeah. He actually did make a joke once, and last time I saw him, he said the same thing. He's like, you go on your podcast and you talk, but when I asked you to talk to me at Bear Stadium in Boyertown, you were like Coach Weber. You just stood there like, you know, well, this, that, and the other. But then I listened to your show, and you're like giving all the insight that I wanted. And I said, well, there's no pressure on my show. Like, I'm just giving my opinion on my show.
Yeah, I'll sit and shoot the breeze like off camera or off like the newspaper. I'll talk about it. I just didn't like it.
That's fine. I think that's what makes a good coach. All the good coaches I've ever worked with or I've seen be successful, they don't ask for the media.
Nope, didn't. Because I didn't want to get like, again, I'm very superstitious too. I don't want to give any I don't want to jinx us. I don't want to say we're playing real good. I don't want to say we're playing bad. Just let us go. Just let us play. We'll be fine.
Now, you got to make a coaching return, though. That's Coach Weber's dream. And I know that. That's his dream, for you to come back. You know it is, too. Like, I'm not over-exaggerating. If I called him up right now and put him in, he would agree with me. He wants you to come back.
Maybe I could be like one of my favorite movies is Major League. I'll be like Bob Uecker up there in the stands. I'll be in the press box.
Oh, that is a good move. I do have a question, and then we'll end it. Even I don't think the audience wants me to. How would you coach today the modern high school player? Because it's changed so much since I left, even.
If I would ever coach, I'd have to really sit back and think about it, because I know during the 15 years how it ended, I was completely different than how I started. Because I know players have so, we've talked about with travel teams and club team and all that kind of stuff. That's right now, it's not going away. And I wouldn't want to coach and talk that stuff down to the kids. I tell them not to play. That wouldn't work. I'd probably tell them, that's fine. You know, do that stuff. If you think you need that to promote yourself, to get to go where you want to go, that's fine. I'll support that. But when you're here, when the game, like when we start up in March and we play, you know, try to put the individual stuff aside. Players now and parents now think the high school is meaningless anyway for their college recruiting for the most part. They do all their stuff.
I know this.
Travel ball. So
yep.
If they feel it's not important for their recruiting, well then heck, use the spring season as a time to build the relationships with your players, the community, the school, and do something together. You have the whole fall, the summer, fall to do all that kind of stuff to promote yourself. Let's make a run here. And let's face it, if you want notoriety, if kids really like the spotlight, the way to get the spotlight is to be a good team. I mean, you're not going to get spotlight playing for a 5-15 team, but you make a run, you can. So, and I'm sure a lot of the coaches do that already. But I know years ago when all that travel stuff started, like we were against it. I think you almost have to work with it now.
You're right. And I think my class that left was the last class that travel ball wasn't as big of a deal. I truly believe that, because you had kids play travel ball, but high school baseball, at least with my class, was still the main focus.
Mm-hmm.
Now I could talk to Coach Weber, and some players are blowing their arms out because they're not listening to Coach Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wondering why they're blowing their arms out, but they're throwing 90 miles an hour in a all year round.
It still shocks me, because college baseball is an extension of high school. You're playing for a team, that college coach, you know, once you get there, it's about playing for the college and winning there.
Yep.
So the high school baseball is more like what they're going to see in college than going to some showcase on a weekend, throwing on an indoor mound, you know, to show what you got. I mean, so I don't know. That I guess that's what I would, if it was right now, that's what I would have to do. I wouldn't fight the travel and the showcases.
I think Parkland's actually made the best adjustment. No, I think Parkland's number two. I think Liberty has made the best adjustment of how to juggle that. But I think Parkland's adjustment that Coach Weber made my senior year to start to say having the fall practices, working more with travel ball, which started when I was probably a junior, I would say, was when he really made the change or saw that he had to make the change. I'll ask him the next time we come on. He'll be honest with me when he's not in season. I think the Liberty might – I don't know if they still have the jump on them, but they did when I was there at least. They knew how to juggle that well, and that's the one thing I will give them credit for. I don't know if they still do juggle it well, but
yeah, I know the Liberty coach used to keep his kids together year-round and do a travel thing. I just saw that as a conflict, because we always preach to kids that every year's a new year. You know, if you didn't make it the year before, come out. I think keeping the kids together for a year kind of gives the sense that, well, if you don't play for me all year, you're not, don't even bother coming out. But, and that's where I know, as much as I liked coaching baseball, doing it year round, I was always against year round. Like, it just burns me out. I just didn't want to do that. And Coach Weber has a lot more ambition to do that than I do.
I think what they're doing is good, but I think a lot of it has to do with the parents wanted it, and the parents convinced him to do it. And I like it because it gets the foundation set. And it's open to everybody, which I don't know if Liberty's is open to everybody. Like, anyone that's not on the team can come to these fall's practices, as long as they're in high school. It's like an intramural, but outside. That's really what it is. But I kind of liked the way it was with the workouts and everything. I just kind of liked not doing anything. But things change. And in college, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, I've seen this year, because I'm not on the sidelines, but I am kind of on the sidelines, at least collegiately. They take their break. They take their 2 months off. They're done in November. They're done. And they're starting up now. Like, they're just starting up Monday. So I just don't understand why kids like to blow their arms out. I'll say it. I don't understand why pitchers like to pitch all year round. I'll never understand it.
Some of it's the kids, some of it's the parents, some of it's these people out there that are trying to fill their heads with
money.
Yeah, they think you pay them money, you're going to get more out of it. And they really don't have – and the sad thing is, like, those people that do it, if one or two of their kids makes it somewhere, they use those kids then to say, look, if you come with me, look what I did for this kid. You know, it's – I don't like that.
Hey, you got out at the right time. And if for your style, I think you got out at the right time.
Like, I always, yeah, we have a lot of players in this category, but I always use, like, Gabe Moser as, like, he's like the poster child for it. You know, he didn't do any showcase or anything like that. You know, he played pretty much in-house his whole time. You know, in the wintertime, he played rec league basketball. And during intramurals, I remember – they would have, like, rec league championship games for basketball, and he would ask about, you know, can I miss? I'm like, yeah, go ahead, go run up and down the court. You know, get you in decent shape, you know, stage your arm a little bit, and look where he ended up.
Oh, so, no wonder why. I'll talk to you about this off air. I just got an email from the baseball program, so let's end it.
Yep.
This has been an edition of the Mets News Podcast. The draft expert. If you ever feel you need to come on, you shoot me a text, and you know I'll always work it out. You bring in the ratings, and the fans love you. So
maybe I'll have a tattoo next time.
The 10,000 people that listen to this show, I love you. So, which I knew they would. I even told you that when it was 50 people. I said they're gonna love you. So
can we get it up to six figures, like 100,000.
If I could do this weekly, if I could do this weekly and not every other week because I'm busy, probably. It just takes a lot of time to do this. And then I'd have to renegotiate my sponsors, which I might have to do if I go back into coaching again. I'll have to cut that off again, which is fine. I'd rather coach. All right. Stay safe. Let's go Giants. And maybe the draft expert next time will have a tattoo. And I might have to post it on Twitter. I might even put that on my private Instagram. All right, stay safe.